Yes, we thank the Lord because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't find the way. We don't know where the way was at. But thank you because he came and his blood was shed for me and you. And he made a way. See, I don't have to do nothing else. Just let the Spirit of God lead me to the way. There's many ways out there today. They said this way to Christ, that way to Christ. Many will come in that day. Christ is here, Christ is there. I know where Christ is at. Right here. And he leads me and he guides me. And at the end, I have my confidence in him. And I trust him that he will take me all the way. No man can do that. Just him. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Okay. We have a heavy Wednesday here. Every Wednesday is heavy. But I was in the office with Andy and Makaya. You know, you cannot keep no secrets no longer in this place. Because God knows everything. So Andy started praying, and he praying about the blood of Jesus that covered us, that forgive us. And that's the only way we can come and have fellowship under the blood of Jesus. And I said, well, have you been looking at my notes? Because that's what I'm going to talk about the blood of Jesus. So I said, man, this can't keep nothing in secret around here no more. But that's good. That's a vindication that we are in the right track. Maybe I'm not in the right track. He's in the right track. So let us read a verse, Revelation 12:11, and then we get started. Yes, thank you. Because I didn't give you guys any notes. So we just make it as it goes. Huh? Okay. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life unto the death. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this midweek service. Father, we thank you because we can come together to worship you, to adore you. Father, to praise you and to thank you for what you have done so far this week. Father, thank you for this mid-service and thank you for our brothers and sisters that had made a sacrifice to come, Lord. I know it's not going to go in vain. You're going to bless them, Father. And we're going to give us a strength to continue the journey. Father, and we thank you because you are our guest of honor tonight. Amen. Father, we want you to take your place, your rightful place in our hearts, Father. Father, and we want you to just have control of everything that we do and we say, Father. And maybe for your glory and your honor, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you these things. Amen. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. So they overcame by the blood. Why? Because without the blood, there's no redemption. Without the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without the blood, there's hardly no fellowship with God, no communion. It is in that blood that we got all these things, see? That was the payment. That was the atonement, see? I was lost. I was undone, without hope, without Christ. But that blood is the one that completely, took me and cleansed me and changed me. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed abroad our hearts, because that's where God dwells, in our hearts. He shows the heart. Satan showed the mind. But he sheds his blood in my heart. But in order to do that, he had to change my heart first, because it was just like a stony heart. See, I couldn't even love myself, less love anybody else. But he comes and shed that blood. And the love of God is transforming and shaping and giving me a tender heart so he's flexible enough for him to do something with it. Because with my stony heart, there was no way he could do anything. Remember the parable of the stone, the parable of the seed that fell on the stony place? Can do nothing. The devil comes and take it. Yeah, we had no choice when we were at the end of the world. Anything that you heard, you wanted to do good. That was your but you couldn't because it was falling in the stony ground and the heat of the day and the sun, and it will burn all this stuff. Satan will take it away. So you could never even get ahead. You was a loser when you were born. We were losers. In no way we could have make it. No other way. But I'm glad that one day we saw this bright light. God came through our life and the word came through our life and illuminated my heart. And then his love came to me because he loved me first. So the blood of Jesus has to come to your heart and form it. See? That's what he wants. He wants to form your heart. That's where all the thoughts of a man come from, the heart. So it has to be reshaped. It has to be formed to his will. So he says over here, then by the word of their testimony. But what was their testimony? I believe God. Whatever he said, it shall be done. Because the blood has enough power to transform my life. And I can believe that. And that was their testimony. God said it. He will do it. So that was my testimony. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's all it is. So if he did it yesterday, he can do it today. And he can do it tomorrow. He can change my heart. Blood, the blood has enough power to transform my life. Not only that, but that blood is, it says, and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives. So more than that, you have to die to yourself daily. See? That's the death we're talking about here. Because in order for manifest Christ in our life, Eli has to die every day. So I can let God manifest himself. They love not their lives. See? We want to obey God. When we die to our ideas, our thoughts, you know, our, you know, ways, then we want his way, his idea. We want his mind, not my mind. That one is gone. But when we have the mind of God, then God can finally take us and conform ourselves to his will. But the heart has to be changed. The testimony has to be there that I believe God. And then he can start transforming our life according to his will. He wants to conform. You need to conform. We need to conform to his will. But when the heart is lined up with the mind of Christ, then we can do that. Without that, it's impossible. And that takes the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. So, quickly, 1 Peter 1:18, he says, this is a little bit too. For as much as you know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. See, he's saying here, Peter, that we are not, that God paid the ransom, see, to save us. To save us from one, for our ways before, for our conversation, our way of conversation, from our corruptible life. Everything that we had was perishable. You know, we were walking, you know, life, but we were dead. But he saved us. He paid the ransom to save us from our own empty life. That's what it was. It was empty. If a man don't have God or a woman don't have God, they're empty. I went here, went there, I travel, I look everywhere, but I end up empty all the time. Because what I was looking at there, I wasn't there. Your life is empty. Without God, it's empty. Because nothing will satisfy that longing. God made that longing so he can satisfy that. So he says, your matter of conversation, your walk, you know, the way we talk, the way we move, and our tradition from our fathers, see? Because the traditions made the word of God of none effect. And that's where we all were at, in our traditions. He says, the life, we inherited a life from our ancestors, for our parents, see? But that life, the Bible says, not by blood or flesh, but by the will of what? God. See? This guy, sorry, ain't nothing you can do with this guy. He's condemned. See? So, it doesn't matter. I mean, they took me to church. They encouraged me. They taught me what to be right and do right. But that was the way. Because you can be as good as you can be. And still, that's not the way to heaven. And you might have had good parents and they might drag you to church every Sunday and Wednesday. And you hated it sometimes. But it doesn't matter, because even that is not going to make it. That is not going to satisfy the longing. And coming to church and checking the box will not satisfy the longing. Amen. And John 1:13 says, which were born not of blood. See, to begin with, Gentiles, we had no right to the kingdom of God. Right. To begin with, we were dogs anyway. We were not from the Abraham lineage blood. That's why he said, not of, you know, blood, not of the will of the flesh. Had nothing to do with my ancestors and my parents and who they were. I don't care who they were. In fact, they could have, you know, let me see. They could have been the, from the finest line, you know, breed. You know, I'm Haim 57, but let's see, they were from the straight from Spain, from the, you know, the cream, or the, you know, and they have paper, you know, like a dog and a horse pedigree all the way down, and they can prove that they're not mixed with anything. I don't care. That is not going to do it either. You can be in that position. That is not what is going to make it. See, no flesh, no blood, no ancestry, no line. It doesn't matter. Even though the Jews like to keep the line, you know. But that is not what's going to save you. I don't care if you can prove me with a piece of paper that you came from Adam. You know, that's what the Jews do. They tell you. I don't know. And I don't worry about it right now, see. Because that's not the way we were born. But if that's the way, I mean, in the flesh, if that's the way we were born, it doesn't matter. I don't know how fine of a family you came from. I don't care how fine of a china you use, and you drink your tea with your little finger up like that. And society, high society, doesn't matter. It had nothing to do with that. See, here we're all the same. I don't care where you come from, we're all the same. So we became sons of God, not by blood, he says, not by descendants from Abraham, not by flesh or by a natural, you know, generation, but by the will of God, see, in our life, according to them. So that is the bloodline that I want. In fact, that is the bloodline that I came from. A prophet told me, he took me all the way to the mind of God, and he showed me that bloodline coming down, and I am from that bloodline today. I am a king. See? So that is the line that I want. The rest of it amounts to nothing. I don't care how good it is. But that is the line I want, that bloodline that came from the throne of God, that was, you know, crucified in Calvary. That blood that paid my ransom, my price, that is the bloodline that I want. And if you had the same bloodline, then we are brothers and sisters. Because that bloodline only comes from one, and it's our Father. That's where the bloodline comes to, the Father. So you and I have the same Father. And we have the same bloodline. The Bible says all men were made for one blood and one blood only. At the beginning. We're going to get there in a minute. So that is the bloodline that I'm looking for. You know, my bloodline before was that would get me anywhere. Not even a coffee in a place. You know? But his bloodline takes me all the way to heaven. Why? Because I can prove it to you. I have an abstract. I have a title deed. You know what? The abstract, it takes me all the way to my Father. You know, we could go as far as Genesis, but he comes a prophet and took us all the way to the mind of God. Amen. See? And I got a paper, an abstract that is clean. Completely no claims. Why? Because when the blood of Jesus came, forgave all my sins. All my sins, and there is no sin, no claim. All the Satan has no claim on me. Amen. You know why? Because I got no sin. Amen. He took care of cleaning all that, all the way to the throne of God. Amen. See? So Satan has no claim on me. Amen. Now when Moses, God took Moses, Satan, you know, he says, what is the body? I had the right to that body. He might have the right to this body when I get done with it. When God get done with it, he can have this trash. This 99%, whatever, you know, after it's burned, whatever. It's more now with inflation, probably $4.99. You can have it when we get done. When I can produce God in me perfection, produce the life that is in the blood. So that abstract was clean. When that blood came, it cleans my sins all the way. Satan cannot even point a finger. I find by the, it goes in front of the judge and he's accusing and they, where's the charges? Oh my. Clean. But I know he did clean. No charge. So who can lay the charge to his children? To his, nobody. Why? There's no charges. All the sins were thrown in the sea of forgiveness to never to be found again. So don't point fingers because there is no sin to be found. The only one that likes to find sin is and like to go ahead and fish in that sea of forgiveness is Satan. He says no fishing. And that means you, Satan, no fishing all over the place, but he likes to throw the hook to see what he can pull. See? But he has no right to fish any longer. They took his license. His license was, you know, expired. When he came to the cross, that license was deleted. So he cannot find me. So my abstract is clean all the way. So what happened now? I got a title deed. Because my abstract is already clean. No sin, like I never done it before. I'm justified. So now I got a title deed that said I have possession of that body. I have possession of Jerusalem, you know, the land that we're going to go. I have possession, you know, of that theophany that is there waiting for me. See, I have a title deed that tells me who I am and where I'm going. And it's clean. Not even Satan, I don't know how many demons, spirit in hell can stop me. I will go all the way through. Why? Because what he did for me in the cross. See? I have a clear title tonight. I'm a clear title. It says in 1 Peter 1:19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, how the bride is going to be without blemish and spot? Because the blood of Jesus had no blemish and had no spot. And you know, in my veins, you know what's running in my veins? The blood of Jesus. But the man said, what we need is a transfusion. And I got a transfusion. I got the blood of a king of God running through my veins. So how I'm going to be blemish? No, you know, without blemish and without spot? Because the blood makes me that way. My first birth, no. But the second birth, it makes me clean. Listen, God was perfect. His son was perfect. The blood is perfect. So how can I join a perfect God? Unless I have a perfect blood without a spot and without a wrinkle. Well, the blood do that for me. He cleans me. He purifies me. He makes me holy. Now I can join God. Why? Because I got the same blood. Amen. Without a spot and without blemish. But it's the precious blood of God. And the ransom that he paid was not, you know, Peter says over here, the ransom that he paid was not gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. See, nothing corruptible, nothing perishable, but his life. Says a spotless Lamb of God. The blood of Jesus Christ, absolutely the most precious thing God has offered to us. Now think about it. You're going to have a little more understanding about this blood. Because this, without the blood, there's no redemption. So, blood of Jesus, what does it mean? The blood of Jesus is the foundation or the base for our redemption. See? Without it, there's no way we can get back. See? He died in the cross. We just celebrated Easter. He shed his blood. But he resurrected. See? He resurrected. So, and he was the one that paid the payment for my sins, for our sins. Amen. Now listen what, redemption. Redemption is the forgiveness, the absolution for past sin. Well, more than past sin. See, that's why I am perfect. Oh, I don't think so. You made a mistake. I am perfect. In him, I am perfect. Why? Because he forget what I did yesterday. That's redemption. He forget what I did today, and he paid the price for what I'm going to do tomorrow. So where I am guilty? Where did Satan going to find anything? It's clear from there all the way to heaven. From the man of God all the way back to his. It's clear. Oh, but you're going to make, yes. I will make mistakes. I'm still going to make mistakes. But my way is clear all the way. Why? Because I believe it. Listen, the blood of Jesus, that was the ransom. That was pain and suffering and anguish and despise and rejected. If we do not accept what that blood means, some people do. There's no more, you know, any more atonement for sins. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said, if we reject that after having the knowledge of, there's no more what? Sacrifice. Atonement for it. To reject the blood, it's done. You know what we're saying? Jesus, you cannot do it. That blood don't have no power. Or if it has power, it's not for me. That blood cannot forgive me. Yes, it forgave me yesterday, today, and I'm perfect all the way. How can you claim that you are perfect? Well, because he said it. I'm justified like I never done it. Because I accepted the pardon. See? He gave me a pardon signed with his own blood and said, your pardon. All I had to do, just take it and accept it and believe it. And I did. So I am all the way back where I belong now. See, it says the blood of Jesus, it says, not only, let's read Romans 5:9. It says, much more than being justified by his blood. See, the blood is what tells me that I never done it. Why? Because Satan cannot find sin. See, well, he did this, he did that. Well, show me. I'm justified. See? I've been pardoned by his blood. And we shall be saved from wrath through him. See? I don't have to go through judgment anymore. Listen, I made it. And if you cannot say that, you need to understand the power of the blood. You made it. And if you still you got doubt, he's avenged. You made it. Because there's no obstruction. The claim is already out of it. The abstract is clean. The abstract is where the contract that set the specification, how, when, where things are done. See, that's the abstract. That all is clean, all the way. Whoop, here we go again with this thing. All right, do your magic there. Okay, thank you. So, more justified by his blood. So, now this is Hebrew. I want you to, Hebrew 13, 20, 21. Let's read 21st. Now, God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, see, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And I had to sit down there and read everlasting. You know what everlasting means? It's lasting for a while. It's lasting until. Everlasting is not eternal. And I said, what did Paul wrote this thing here? It's only everlasting. Are we in 20? Everlasting covenant. I said, well, I thought it was eternal. But that's not what it says here. If we read also in John 14:6, it says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believe in him may have what? Everlasting. Oh, you don't have it there yet? It's John 14:6. But I'm saying, what I mean everlasting? This is temporary then? Or, you know, what happened here? It's not eternal. So I started digging some more on Brother Brown's message, and he says, yes, it's temporary until the rapture. The covenant right now is until the rapture. Why? It's a process. It's making you like him. But once you get to the rapture and you're like him, then it becomes eternal life. Right now, it's only until you become perfect in Him. See? And that's why we are here, because if you don't attain perfection, but don't worry, because He said, be perfect as I am perfect. That was the ministry is here. That was the fivefold ministry, to take you to what? To perfection. Once you get to perfection and the rapture happened, that's the end of everlasting. Now it's going to turn to be eternal after the millennium. Then we drop into eternity. So that's what Paul says, everlasting. But don't worry, don't fret, because that everlasting is going to end in the rapture when you reach your perfection. When we reach perfection, then we're not going to need everlasting anymore, because we're going to be eternal. So that's what Paul wrote that, and I was just kind of, okay. The blood of Jesus, okay. Why is required? Let's read Hebrews 13 again, 20 and 21. Let's read 21. I read 20 already. It says, the blood will make you what? Perfect. You need the blood, because the blood is what make you perfect. Oh, no, but I got the word. The blood is what make you perfect. Because the blood will annihilate, it kills, it changes you. You know, you are a new person, a new creature, no more sins. As I was saying before, you know, the key on that verse that I wrote you, you know, that some people denying, you know, the power of God, the Holy Ghost. There's no more atonement. We deny that power after we taste of it. Some people in this message are after 30 years. I don't know what's going to happen to them. I don't know. I'm not God. As long as I'm here, you know, this is not judgment yet. His mercy is still there. But to leave something after 30 years, you know, that's danger. Because he says, you know, there's no more atonement after you we leave that. See, the key here is intentionally. The Bible says if you intentionally leave that, intentionally. That's the key. Now, you and I make errors. We fall. Sometimes we disbelieve, but it's not what? Intentionally. We don't get up in the morning thinking, this I'm going to do run. I'm going to rob a bank today. I think I need some money. No. When we get up in the morning, our intention is to follow God. Our intention is the desire that we have is to serve Him that day. Satan will trick us. But see, that was not intentionally. That's what Brother Ronald always said. Check your desire. Yeah, but I did this. Did you want to do it? Did you enjoy it? That's what you wanted to do? Or that is not your desire? Because when I'm down, I tell God, sorry, that's not my desire. I don't want that. I hate it. But sometimes we get caught. Because that's not my intention. My intention is to go all the way with God. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to the things I used to do. I'm not going back to the way I used to do. You know why? I don't have no desire, because the blood of Jesus will take away that desire. And if He hasn't taken it away from you yet, there's something wrong. If you're still craving for things of the world, now, we made mistakes, I said, but if you're craving for it, oh, let's go back to Egypt. You know, let's go back to the onions and garlics, and we had a better life out there. What's wrong with that guy? Crazy. They were they were over there, a slave. If that was a good life, you and I were slaves. That's the life that I want to go back to. You know what? I'm free. And I want to stay free. And Brother Brown says, as long as you can believe that you are free, you are free. See? He said, make you perfect in every good work to do His what? His will. See, the blood will do that. Has power enough to cleanse your mind, to clean your body, to clean your thought, to give you pure thought, to keep your mind in Him through the Holy Ghost. The blood has the power for you to do good work. That is His will. He says, working on that which is well-pleasing. When I get up every morning, I want to please God. That's my desire. But you know who gives me that desire? He gives me the desire. If that desire wasn't there, I'd be in trouble. because I've been looking for something else that I please to do. But my only thing I want to do in my life is to please him. You know, I'm here because I want to please him. I don't want to please you. I don't have no intention to please you, and you don't need to please me. The only one that I need to please is God. Because when you and I please God, we can come together under the blood of Jesus. But that blood make us, you know, have communion and fellowship. If we are doing what? Pleasing God, doing his will. He says, working which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Pleasing. Enoch. Take Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and then what? He was not. He was translated. Then later on in Hebrew, Paul says, Hebrew 11:5, if you want to put it. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found. One of these days, you're not going to find me anymore. The world. Jesus said, you know, I'm leaving, you know, and you're not going to see me anymore. But I will come back. And one of these days, Eli is not going to be found anymore. He says, he said, translate that he should not be sees death. That means that he was resurrected or something. Like Elijah, you know, took off in the chariot all the way to heaven. He didn't see dead, right? But this is the age. This is the challenge in this age that had never been done before. That challenge is on you to prove that the word of God is right. It will be a change in the twinkle of those that are alive and remain will not die. This is the challenge that never has been done before. And you know, God is going to prove it with you. You are the proof that the rapture is on. You are the proof that you can go from death to life without seeing death. You are the proof. You know, it was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God translated him. Now, before the translation, he had a testimony. What was the testimony? That he pleased God. The only way you can please God is by having faith in God. That's how you honor God. You have faith in God, in his word, and doing his will. Be obedient to that. So he said he pleased God. So I want to be pleasing to God. Now, you think that I'm going to go out here with less than Enoch left? He said he pleased God. When you come to church, you're not pleasing love divine. You're not pleasing the pastor. Don't come to so we know that you came. You came over here because you wanted to please God. And if you come with that mind and that attitude, and I come with that attitude, then we can get together and fellowship under the blood, and we're going to see the power of God coming down in this church. But that is the mindset. Come to please God and not to please man. Hold on a minute. He says, before the translation, he had this testimony. And I want to have the same testimony. In fact, you're going to have the same testimony because he says, by the blood and by the testimony. You will not get out of here with no less. Because God wants you to please him. In fact, the only reason he saved you is so you can please him. Because all I deserved was death. I was going to die. I was going to go to hell. He saved me from that damnation. And now, you don't think I want to please him? Of course I want to please him. And how do I please God? The Bible said it, I believe it, and I do it. But see, we come to church. And that's what the ministry is to do. The fact is to take you to that perfection. See, you're not there yet. God, when God speaks, it's done. He always speaks in the future. It is done. You are raptured. You're perfect. But we still got to go through the motions, to the process. It's working now. Through that blood, it's enough power to transform you and take you all the way to that perfection. The fivefold ministry is here for that. Amen. To take you to a perfection. And as you're going to a perfection, the more you have to please God. I mean, it cannot work no other way. You cannot tell me I'm getting there and then, well, pleasing God. Okay, things simple. We don't have to do hard things, you know, to please God. You know, you, I hate to say it, but I always say it. You know, because it's a small thing and people can do the small thing. It says, do not forsake the assembly. Do you want to please God? What is the word said? You have another idea? I don't care. Because you know what? Here, God set it up so we can bring you to perfection. Now, you say, but I can do it at home. I do it my way. Good luck, buddy. If you get that before I do, let me know. Come on, enlighten us how you can do it by yourself. Because that's not God's way. This is God's way. That we come, and through the preaching of the gospel, you know, then the blood is enough power to take that word to the Holy Ghost and manifest that word through you. But I can listen to tapes, and I can listen to so-and-so preaching and so-and-so preaching. Okay, then I guess you know more than God. Because that's not how God said that he was. There's nothing wrong to listen to tapes. There's nothing wrong to do things, pray, do your thing. But that's not the way to perfection. God set up this way so we can take you all the way to the headstone. If you're under a good ministry, led by God, you will make it. Ah, but I don't like this, and I don't like, you know, complaining and murmuring. Well, look at the children of Israel. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on that more. Anyway, the blood cannot inherit. It says, what I was at. Okay, Hebrews 11:15. Pleasing to God. We want to be pleasing to God. That's what the blood do for us. Make us perfect and pleasing to God. Because in another way, when we were drunkards and stealing and lying and adulterers, in a way, you were pleasing God. The only way to please God is to do his desire. His desire is that he will take you, shape you, mold you, clean you, make you holy, and make you part of his body. That's all he wants. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:50. He said, now this I said, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit. Sorry. If you're depending on this, sorry. This, the blood did not come to clean this body. The blood just came to clean one thing and one thing only. And that's that guy that was inside here. How? Because God put in me a seed. But it has to be germinized. You know, an egg, the chicken cannot be with the rooster. That egg, you eat it or you're going to get rotten. There's no life. It has to be germinized. When I was born, God put in me a seed. See? And then when the time come, at the due season and time and place, it came. The word came. The bleeding word, see, came. See, and germinized the seed. See? So that's what I can say. This guy was not the one germinized. This guy deserved death. It's corrupted. He didn't come to save this flesh. So after dressing so much, and I think some of you spend more time combing your hair and brushing your teeth like, than praying now. I used to be a pastor that told me that, you got this money, I bet you spend more time looking at yourself than looking to God. Well, in a way, he was right. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you get up and and then the thing ring, the alarm ring, and then you go to sleep, and then you get up late and you boom, you know, and we forget about everything else until we get, oh my God, I didn't pray this morning. That's right. We made mistakes. Now, this I said, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither that corruption inherit incorruption. This is corruption. Who corrupted it? We're going to get the enemy now. So, God is shaping our heart, transforming our mind, conforming out to his will through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, how is this possible? 1 Peter 1:1-2. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those temporarily residing abroad, Pontus and Galatia, the province of Asia. He says, and Bethania, who are chosen. We're getting to somewhere now because they have to be chosen, not everybody. There's not blood for everybody. We get there. Let me know. Chosen. You have to be chosen. You have to be in his mind. See? In fact, I'll give you a little hint. You know, there was a wise virgin and it was a foolish virgin. There was no blood for the foolish virgin. She's not under the blood. Okay? The wise virgin, yes. Because she was in the mind of God before the foundation. The foolish virgin didn't even have enough of the Spirit of God. She wanted sensation. She wanted to jump. She wanted to speak in tongue. See? She wasn't worrying about to have the Holy Spirit in the right place in the heart. She had it on her, but not where it belongs. See? It was not blood for her. Now you're talking about why some are holy, you know, and some are unholy, even though they look good. In fact, they look better than me. You know, those high priests, they look better than Jesus. You know, he ate with the sinners. He had just one robe. Can you imagine? Paul had one robe too. I got about 5-6 suits, and I feel ashamed. Those guys have one rope. Dusty, dirty, sweaty, smelly. Can you imagine John the Baptist? And he even had no rope. He just got some skins to put on him. I mean, this guy's dressed every morning, the high priest, and, you know, they're walking like you know, they're walking in air on water, you know, and with their nose up, and everybody, you know, they make sure everybody will notice. And they like the high places, you know. See, they like the high positions. So they can be seen. Oh, how great is Pope so-and-so, Father so-and-so, and Bishop so-and-so. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, I'm getting on that. I don't know why. But it says chosen. So don't be surprised when I said the foolish spirit is not chosen. She was not there. There's no blood, just the blood for the ones that were chosen, predestinated by the foreknowledge. There's blood for those. And Andy, those are the ones that will be clean through the blood and they will be holy. Because the blood makes us holy and pure without a spot and without a wrinkle. Listen, he says, we are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God knows everything. And God knew who will say yes. And God knew his children says, I will not lose any, Jesus said. What the Father has given me, what was in his mind before the foundation of the world, what was in the book of the Lamb. I'm going to get into that I hope I will have time. He says, foreknowledge of God the Father by being set apart by the spirit of obedience. See? When God came to you and he says, you want to be saved? You want to accept the blood? Yes. Do you want the Holy Ghost? Yes. See, there are some people that they don't even know what the Holy Ghost is today. Denominations that they don't even know what that is. They have a sensation. They have an anointing. But in the wrong place. It's not here. It's in the flesh. And with that, they can do wonders and miracles. And people, they must be it. No. See? Because that has to be in your heart. The Holy Spirit says, apart of the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit that comes to you and seal you and set you apart from him. Like brother was talking. He sets you apart, but that is foreknowledge of God by his Spirit. It is not who wants, it is not who run, it is not who want to have mercy. It's just God decide who it is. Listen, don't throw rocks at me. I didn't make this plan. I'm just telling you what he said. It don't make sense. Yes, it's sad. I know it's sad. In one side, it's sad. But in another side, I'm joyful. I'm grateful. Because I used to be in that side one time. But I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't even know I was chosen. I don't even know it was a prophet. I didn't even know it was a message. You know, but I'm glad that God found me. I and pull me up out of that mire. I had nothing to do with it. And I'm not looking down at the people that are not. I'm just saying the blood is only for the wise virgin. I didn't make this. Said, chosen according to foreknowledge of God the Father by being set apart by the Spirit. The Spirit's going today, you know, looking. And when he finds the last one, be gone. Amen. But the last one, God knew what he was going to respond. God knew what you were going to say to him. See, God knows everything. So he knew when he gets to Brother Dodge, he says, yes, do unto me as you have said, that Mary said. See, he knew that. But some other people just stand there and look like, wow, like a mule. Like, you know, surprise. What are you talking about? Anyway, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God Father by being set apart by the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling with Jesus Christ's blood. See, that's what we use set apart. So God can take you and clean you and shape you and mold you through the Holy Spirit so you can become what you were to begin with. You just forgot. You had amnesia. See? But the Father had not forgotten you. It says, obedient for the sprinkling of with Jesus Christ's blood, my grace and peace, it says, be yours in full measure. See, Paul don't want you to have just a little bit. You know, you want your cup full. You know? Why would you come to church and just get a little bit? Why don't you just get it all? Whatever you can get. And if you can get my part, take it. Because if you don't want it, I take yours. I want everything that I can get. And more. Blood of Jesus. I'm closing now. I want to go to Revelation 7:14. I want to make a few more comments. And I'm almost closing. Give me half hour probably to close. And I said unto him, because every time we said closing is half hour. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. See, you know, he's showing a scene and he's asking John, do you know? He said, I don't know, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. You know, under the throne, it was people. Looked like a glass, a water glass thing. They were there. And he says, the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See? That's all those Jews that came throughout, you know, Hitler and all those 60 some million that were killed, you know. But what are they doing there? He says, Romans 8:23. Well, I don't want to get that yet. Okay. He has washed the robes and made them white as snow. And what were they doing underneath the throne? What were they doing? Crying out. Crying out. Avenge us. Look at what happened, what they did to us. The killers, the dragons, the torture. Avenge us. And I said, just be cool. You know, we're waiting for the rest of your brethren to come in, and then we do that. But what were they doing? Crying out. Crying out for vengeance. See, you and I, we don't cry out for vengeance, so that's not you and me. Because we speak out, we don't cry out. Moses was told, Moses, stop crying out. You know what? Speak. Because that is what the blood do in you. The blood will not cry out, help me God, I'm so... Speak. Because it's not you speaking, it's the blood in you has a voice. That blood in you has a voice in the beginning. You know, the blood of Abel speak more than he was crying out. Said the blood was crying out to God. It says the blood of Jesus speak even more. Because in the blood of Jesus is a voice. And that voice is in you. Spiritually, you don't have to cry out. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Help me. I'm in this situation. You know, God is just looking at you and says, why don't you speak out? Because it's not going to be you. It's going to be him in you. That blood has the power to chase Satan. Listen to me. Paul was in a place, I don't know, situation out there. He went to evangelize. And I think it was, I forgot, anyway.
But anyway, it was a guy there that was a sorcerer, a magician, right? And he saw them, you know, in the name of Jesus. And they were doing these big meetings and people were coming and getting healed and being free. Well, they took the bread away from the guy, the livelihood, because he used to do the same thing with magic, you know, reading palm, whatever. Well, you got this, you got that. If you do this, you take this and take that and you'll be better. See? But the guy, suddenly, he saw that his customers were going that way. See? Because it was cheaper. When God healed you, you don't have a bill. I like it. You go to the doctor, you have a bill. This guy was losing his livelihood. So he goes to Paul, and says, hey, can I buy that? See, he thought, you know, that guy has no sense anyway. He didn't know what was going on. Paul rebuked him. But he heard enough how they were doing it. He studied them, he spied them. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke you, Satan. Blah, blah, blah. And then he said, oh, I got it anyway. I don't need these guys. So what happened? He went out there and tried to do the same thing, right? So you know what happened next? Here comes a guy or a sister, and he was just trying, I rebuke you, Satan, and come out of her. And the guy or her, I don't know who he was, stood up and says, because Satan talks to people. That demon that was on her, Legion has 1,000. And he says, this is funny. You know, Satan says, Paul I know, and Christ I know. You know, he can smell your blood. Satan, yes. That's why he don't want to come near you. Because that blood has enough power to push him back. So he goes, you don't smell like a sweet savor unto the living. You still rotten skunk. I can tell that. You haven't been changed. So what happened? Well, the story was that he tore him up. Listen. Satan wants to convince you that you have no power. If you have been saved by the blood of Jesus, he is scared not of you, but he's scared of the blood of Jesus. Listen, stop crying out. You know, you don't know that Satan is scared of you. It's the other way around. When he sees you coming, he knows there's blood there. And he's scared of the blood of Jesus. All you have to say is, Satan, depart. And if you stand still, he smells it. He knows who is a son or who is not a son. Why? Because the blood covers us. And he cannot come through the blood. And if he do, he will be my brother. But he's scared of the blood. Listen, you're not scared of Satan. He's scared of you. You know, when a dog barks, sometimes I'm walking the dogs, or sometimes I'm walking, and I come into a house, it has this fence about 10 foot tall. And then you have a dog out there, a pit bull. No, get away from my fence. Get away from my fence. I'm not even touching your fence, you know. You know, the guy is not brave. He's scared that I will cross the fence. No, yeah, the dog, that's why he's doing all that, you know, noise. He wants to scare you because he's scared that you might come over and do harm to him. You know, Satan comes barking, you know, with no teeth. I'm going to get you and blah, blah, blah. You know, you say, hey, Satan. You know, depart from me. You stand your ground. The blood has enough power to protect you. It doesn't matter. There's no weapon that can be created against you. Flood, water, I don't care. Whatever situation you find yourself, even in the airplane, about 40,000 miles up there. Yeah, some of you are afraid to get in the airplane. I do. But I don't have a phobia. I have a phobia to get in elevators because I have a phobia to get in enclosed things. However, I'm not afraid because I will get there. Then I start thinking, what happened if this thing stopped? Ah, who cares? But this is what I'm saying. It's all right to have a phobia, but Satan wants to scare you. Don't be scared. Just walk in and let God do what he has to do. And when Satan comes with this little thought, oh, this is going to happen. Oh, you got cancer. Oh, the doctor. Oh, show him the blood. You have a blood tag. And that's how we know who is who, because you have a blood tag. You know, a pedigree. They know. They have papers. Show Satan your papers. Satan, this is my abstract. This is my possession. Now, what's the problem? Did you smell the blood? That's all you have to do. Give him a little sniff of the blood. He's scared of the blood. So he says about that, I had washed the robe. So don't cry out, please. You don't need to cry out. Moses, don't cry out. Why don't you speak? Let the blood in you speak. Not you. Let the blood that is in you speak. Because that blood has a voice. Listen what it says in Romans 8:23. And I'm almost done. Yeah. And not only they, but ourselves also. We have the fruit of the Spirit. The first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. That's why it's everlasting life, because you got to get to the adoption. Jesus had to be adopted. That's when you are perfect, done. So that's what is everlasting, until you get to the perfection that you're looking for. And God will take you there. He started the work, he will finish. Don't worry about it. He gave you everything that you have need from here to heaven. He is in you. And if you let it work, it will work all the way. It says, even ourselves that groan within ourselves, not groaning like complaining and murmuring. This is not the kind of groaning. Within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Every day, I groan. I groan to get closer to him. I groan to get out of here. That's the groaning I'm talking about, you know. When sometimes I don't know what else to say, and I groan inside to leave this pet house. That's the groaning I'm talking about. See, groaning with ourselves, waiting for the adoption. The adoption is what we're waiting for. See, we got the Holy Ghost. We've been saved, but now that Holy Ghost go through the process to take us to the adoption. We all going to have to go to the adoption. Don't worry. If you are God and you have the Holy Ghost, you will make it. If you think any other way, you don't make it. You will make it. In fact, you already made it. You just need to stay the course and stay in the course. See? Don't look back. It says, of a body. It says, 2 Corinthians 5, 2 and 4. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2 and 4. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house. You know, Paul says, if I die, I got a house waiting. It's not a house, a building. It's not another church. A house means, this is the house of the Holy Ghost. This is the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. And I have another one waiting for me when I live here. It's my theophany. It's waiting for me. See? Another house. Perfect. He says, upon with house which earnestly designed to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. This is what clothed me right now, this piece of flesh right here, corrupted. But I want something different. I want something perfect. And when I get there and come, we're going to be, changed from in the twinkle of an eye. I will have a different clothing on me one of these days. See, some people have to wait until they come back to take their bodies. They're waiting for that. You and I, we are just going to be changed in the twinkle of an eye. This corruptible is going to be changed into what? I got another house waiting for me. He says, grown earnest, design the cloth upon with our house, which is from heaven. See, heavenly places. See, for we that are in this tabernacle, here in this one, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up by what? By life. One of these days, I'm going to come out of this cocoon. In this cocoon, there's something going on. Inside this tabernacle, there's something going on. It's life going on. And one of these days, this guy is going to give away. And life is going to come out. And we're going to swallow up that with life. Now, Romans 8:26, it says, Romans 8:26 and 31. I want to read this and I'm done now. Likewise, Romans 8, starting at 26. Okay. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. How? For we know that not what we should pray for as we ought to,
But the Spirit Himself make intercession for us with what? Groaning. See? Which cannot be what? Utter. Sometimes I am in my closet, sometimes I'm in the car, and sometimes I don't have a language to express what I want to express, and something will take over. You know, the Spirit that is in me, with groanings, I don't understand the groanings. Okay, you haven't experienced that? I mean, speaking in tongues and groaning are two different things. See, that is my praying tongue. My wife has a praying tongue. You heard it before. And I'm not ashamed of having a praying tongue. Why? Because sometimes I cannot express myself with the words that I'm this little peanut mind. So the Spirit helps me. To what? To intercede. And I start speaking in a language, in a heavenly language. I need another language to talk to God. But see, I don't know what I'm saying, but I know one thing, that he is interceding to him. And if he's interceding to him with groanings, I know one thing, that everything's going to be all right. Why? Because finally, the Spirit in me is talking to God. See? Groaning. We cannot be uttered. That's my, I call my praying tongue. Now, I didn't ask for it. I didn't look for it. It just happened. And it says, and he that search the hearts know what it is, what is the mind of the Spirit, because he make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that's what the blood and the Spirit, that is the token, do for you. See? Maybe you don't know how to please God, but the Spirit that is in you know exactly the mind of God and know exactly how to make you please God. He says, so that is the mind that I want. Might as well just, I don't want my mind and I don't want yours. I want his mind. He says, because they make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I have an intercessor here. And I had an advocate there. And it's the same one. It's the Holy Spirit in me. And he's an advocate there. And he's talking to him. You know, forgive him. He didn't mean it, Lord. It was just a moment of you know, whatever. You know, he lost it. You know, but sometimes I do things that I cry. Oh, God, that's not what I wanted to do. And sometimes I lose myself and I don't know what else to say to God. You know, babbling, repetition, that's what some people do with the rosaries. God don't need you to do that. God will intercede for you. The Spirit that is in you will intercede for you. And you have never experienced it. I'm not asking you to look for it. If it happens, happen. If it don't happen, well, God, still you have a Spirit that will intercede for you. And we know that all things work together, see, because he is interceding. You need to understand that it's more going on in there than when you think. You come to church and you can do your rituals and you can do everything, but there's more in there that it meets the eye. And that is what you have to depend on. We can try to do the best. Okay, coming to church, and don't miss a service, praying, listening at the tape. Listen, there's more than that. There's a hidden life inside that this guy don't know anything about it. And if he gets in, he will confuse you. Because he cannot understand the mind of God. But I have a Spirit in me that will understand the mind of God. And he will teach me, he will guide me, he will lead me. We need to trust that is in each one of you. The blood did that for you. He says, what, you're going to try to do it yourself? I try, it didn't work. He says, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God. See, if we have the love of God in us, that love of God will turn anything for his own goodness and purpose. He says, we are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and he who called, he also justified, and he who justified. See, for God, it's done. God always, when you read God's word, it's done. For him, it's potentially, it is done. But you and I have to believe that.
and surrender to God and surrender to His Spirit and please God and be obedient. It says, you love me? Be obedient. It says, what shall we then say to these things? Is God for us, who can be against us? If you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Ghost, that is the token, who can stop me? Not even enough demons and spirits in hell, not even Satan can hold me. Why? Because that blood has power. Has enough power to see me all the way through. Revelation 1:5, and I'm done here. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and is the first begotten of the dead, he was the first, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that love us and wash us from our sin in his own blood. Now I'm going to finish with it. I hope I can do it in about 10 minutes. Let me show you how this works. When Adam was created, and the blood that was in his body was a created blood. Because when he made him out of the earth, it was nothing in that body but dirt and bones. He blew on him. The blood that was in him, it was a created blood of God. Well, how do I know that? Because the second Adam was a cell that was created in the womb of Mary. God created the cell, the blood, because in the blood is the life. And the only one that can give life is God. Adam had the blood of God. Let's make man in our own what? Image. That was God in that man, in Adam, in flesh. In that blood was all creative God blood. Jesus was the same thing. God created the egg and created the sperm and put it in that oven. That's why he didn't have no sin. It was no sex act. Adam was no sex act. But then he was lonely, and you know the story. Now he comes Eve. Now, I don't know if this operation is physical operation that he took a rib. I don't know because I got all my ribs. So I don't know. I'm not missing any. So I don't know if that was symbolic or it was metaphoric or whatever. I don't know. But the thing is that he went into the bone. Now, what is in the bone? The marrow. What is the marrow? That's where the blood is what? Created. It has a cycle. I don't know. It's a fast cycle through there and creates new blood. New blood is created in the marrow, in the bone. So God takes the same DNA. You know, the blood, that's where the life and the DNA is. Because he has to have a companion that has to be just like him. Flesh and blood have to start with the DNA. That DNA has all the information. So I don't know if the operation was symbolic or not. He went to the marrow, took a DNA, make who? Eve, and then take the spirit and put it on her. Now he says, wow, flesh on my flesh and bone on my bone. Why? They had the same DNA. Because why? They came from the same thing, from the same place, from God created. Okay, follow me, because I'm going to finish. Now, Satan comes and injects himself, deceive Eve, and he injects the blood of the beast. And now the 22 chromosomes of Eve pair with the, quote, 20 chromosomes of the beast, and that's corrupted the bloodline. Because the blood was perfect, created by God. What corrupted the blood was Satan. That's how he corrupted this. So we started coming out in corruption. This is not what God wanted. If Adam wouldn't fall, then we could have came, you know, out. How? Well, she's a woman, a man with a womb. So would she come pregnant? Well, did Mary came pregnant? She got impregnated. So Adam's supposed to do this, bring the rest of us by the spoken word. It says, Eve, let's have a child. Okay. He spoke the child. And Eve said,
Do unto me, I believe it. And that seed is planted. Okay? No sex. It was all what? Spoken. And the blood will not be corrupted. It will be the bloodline of God that he created everything. Well, be corrupted now. So what happened? God started his redemption plan. What he was going to do? Give us a blood transfusion. See? He needed to do a new creation. You are the old creation. Lost, undone, a slave of Satan, corrupted. He need to do away with that and do a complete new what? With a new what? With new blood. From? It says he had to regeneration. He had to regene with his blood. The perfect blood of that lamb. Jesus had perfect blood. That was the blood of the Creator. See, that blood, that's what Adam could not see. Satan tried. He knew he couldn't. Why? Because that blood kept him. That blood was pure and holy. And that blood in that body will do exactly what God will do. See? But see, what happened was that when we are born with a different blood, corrupted, we cannot do the will of God because there's nothing there, power to hold me to it. So it had to be a change. It had to be a transfusion. It had to be a blood, his blood. He died in Calvary. That blood was my purchase. That blood, you know, 2,000 years later, in that blood, see, the word bleeding in Calvary. It's all about the word. Now, keep this in perspective. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. It's all word. You just word. You just materialize. A thought becoming a word. You are word. Everything that you see, the creation is all word spoken and it materializes. Everything is word. What we saw in the Calvary, what we saw in that cross, it was the word bleeding. Yeah, Jesus was, yeah, he was a man like you and me. But that was the spoken word of God for that day and for that time, nailing to that cross. Jesus says, in my word, there's life. In his word, it says, it's life. Why? Well, then one day, I was predestined to receive life, to receive a transfusion. The blood that when that was nailed to the cross, that word, that bleeding word came to me. When those, was open, when the seed was open, and then he found this spot in there, a seed that needed the gene, the perfect blood gene of Jesus. See, because I was in him. See, when he died in the cross, my blood cell was there. 2,000 years later, he found me. And he germatized the seed. Now, I got a different blood. The real me is not this guy. The real me is not this blood. It's another guy that inside has the blood tag of Jesus Christ. I have received a transfusion. See, that's what this is not going to inherit. This blood is corrupted. But inside me, there's another guy that has the perfect blood of Jesus Christ running through my veins, my spiritual veins. So I'm holy, I'm clean, I'm without blemish, I'm just like he is. He's perfect, I am perfect, because that blood of his was perfect. That blood in me, I'm perfect. All this is spiritually. We're not talking about physical stuff. This is what's happening inside you. But see, this mind, this cannot see that. There's more going inside you than you think. The blood is taking you to your final destination. Back to him. He says, the Prince of Kings, and unto him that love us. Now Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou was slain and hast redeemed us. Redeem us means that he's going to bring back what he was lost. See? Redemption means to bring back that got lost. Listen, if I go to the pawn shop and somebody goes and buy me and get a receipt saying clear, his debt is clear, there's nothing against him, it's mine now,
Do you think the guy in the pawn shop is going to claim me back? I got to receive. I have an offer that I've been bought back and I'm clean and I don't need to go back to the pawn shop. You have an offer. You have a title that's saying who you belong to. You don't belong to Satan. We don't belong to Satan. We belong to him. Amen. And I got a marriage certificate that proves who is my husband. See? When you went to the pawn shop and you got that paper, you can show that paper to Satan anytime. See? It's my title deed. Where's yours? You know where you're going. You don't have no title deed. I have a title deed that assure me all the way. And they sang a new song saying, "Thou art worthy, take the book and to open the seal therefore, for thou was slain. He has redeemed us back to my place of origin." That's where I came from. And that's where I'm going back. To be a son and a daughter of God. I got papers to prove it to you. I got a pedigree. See? "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal, for thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, Spanish, black, white, yellow, brown. It don't say matter. We're all the same here. Now, the world likes to discriminate. God don't discriminate. You're just as good as the guy next to you. He says, slain, redeem us. See, it was enough blood for me. So don't be selfish. It's blood for me. See? By God, by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nations. It was the blood. It was nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Stand up. Musicians, let's sing that song. I don't know. There is a river. Oh, we can sing. Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to try to sing today. I never sing. There's a fountain open. And that is your origin. That is your source of life. There's a fountain full of blood from Emmanuel veins running through your spiritual veins inside you. You know that they are doing transfusions inside the womb to babies now? But God did the same thing with you. He gave you a transfusion before you were born. You are his. You know they can do that today. But that was God did. You know, he took the DNA and he can do that. Amen. There is a fountain. I don't know how it starts, Tommy. It's a river. No, you sing it your way. Don't forget about me. Within. Yes. There is a fountain open that free from. Do you believe that? Free you. You are free. Come to this water, the word,